Hello and welcome back to Easy Being Green Lessons in Sustainable Business with me, your host, Charlie. Today's conversation is with Polly Buckland and Natalie Welsh, co-founders of the B Corp marketing agency, The Typeface Group. The Typeface Group offers services like email marketing, SEO, communications and design, with a focus on reducing what Natalie and Polly call marketing waste. And we dig into what that means in this episode, as well as what good culture really means and looks like in business, and how addressing the often overlooked people P in people, planet and prosperity can start very simply with your own team. This was such a fun episode to record, although we were interrupted a couple of times by some technical issues, which I think I've managed to edit out, but apologies if there are some robot noises in here at some point. I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Polly and Nat, it's really, really lovely to have you here with us today. Welcome to the Easy Being Green podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Fantastic. So you are the founders and owners of the Typeface Group, which from what I've read on your website is a B Corp communications agency and design studio. So I'd really love to start today by you taking the floor and telling us a bit more about your business. Where did it all begin? And what is the problem or the challenge that you're aiming to address through your work?
Right, where it all began. So it was a cold February day. I literally was on maternity leave. So I've known Polly since, well, we've known each other. That would be weird otherwise. But since we were 11, we went to secondary school together. And I was on maternity leave, literally just started, hadn't had the baby yet. And Polly phoned me up and said, "Did you know that you can be self-employed whilst on maternity leave?" Polly was already freelancing. And
having done the same the year before.
Yeah, and social media was becoming a thing back in 2012. And she had clients that wanted to start social media marketing, and I was doing it for the company that I was also a recruiter for. And I said, okay, yeah, let me have the baby and we'll talk about it. So I had him that next day, and 6 weeks later, was that right? Let's make some money. And started working with Polly on a freelance sort of side. And then 6 months later, we went, let's incorporate this, not be two separate entities. And the Typeface Group was then born whilst Polly was pregnant with her second.
Oh, yeah, that's the timing of it. Yeah. So I started freelancing. on my maternity leave. Almost
before.
14 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I was pregnant with my second. Yeah. So that we use the babies to timeline the business.
How old is mine? So he's 10, yeah. Which means we must. So, yeah, in April, we're going to be 10.
10 years old, yeah.
Yeah. Typeface Group will be 10. But that's how we sort of started, just around your kitchen table, offering marketing, anything. To anyone.
and I guess that's evolved to where we are today. There's a team of 8 of us.
Nine including maternity leave,
and a really valuable handful of delivery partners that we work with. And the problem that we're solving for clients, really, and those clients are largely in the facilities management, construction and renewable energy sectors. And what we do for them is untangle quite complicated communications. I think within those industries, things can be quite technical, and sometimes within that, the end user or the consumer gets missed a little bit in terms of messaging. And also, our goal really is to reduce marketing waste. So years gone by, more was better. Like more blog posts, more emails,
more social media updates, more
every platform.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case now. And actually, it goes hand in hand with reducing your own noise. So stop getting in your own way by just blurting everything at everyone. But also, if you do that and you're more considered, you are going to reduce your digital footprint as well. So it is kind of that triple bottom line, the people, planet, profit. That we help people with through considered communications. Yeah.
Excellent. So talking about purpose, people, planet, profit, you're a registered B Corp, which is a very tricky thing to get. You know, there's thousands of businesses who are currently going through the process, but only a few hundred in the UK who have actually got the registration. I spoke to Andy Hawkins, on who's a B Corp consultant, on this podcast in the last series, and he told me lots about it, so I found it really interesting. So we've spoken a lot about B Corp on this podcast, actually. Can you tell me why it was important for you to get the certificate, and how has having B Corp certification impacted the way that you do business?
B Corp certification wasn't initially the goal. It wasn't really on our radar. So in 2018, we invested quite heavily in our governance. We used an outsourced HR company, and we just wanted to get everything right.
And be better,
yeah. And then in early 2020, just before the lockdowns, we had an environmental audit from a lady called Nancy Hine of True Horizon, and because we just really wanted to know where we were sitting and where we could make improvements to align with our personal values. So at this point, we'd never discussed B Corp. We sort of knew about it. But it wasn't on the radar for us.
We just want to know what our impact was.
Yeah. And then we sat on that environmental audit for a year because lockdown. We got back in touch with Nancy to talk about it. We wanted to pick up on it and start making some improvements. And at that point, this is like where the stars align. At that point, she was looking to become a B leader. And she needed to work with a business to help assist them through their accreditation. So I think I spoke to her, and then that Friday night, with a glass of wine, sat on the sofa, I did the B impact assessment. Just knowing what I knew, and I think you do need your team, because you can't retain all the information in your own head however much you try. So knowing what I knew, I answered the questions, and we came out with 52 points, and you need 81 to become accredited. And I was like, right, okay, well, I know I've missed loads of stuff. Let's see if we can pursue it. And then 2 days later, phone call from Nancy. I really need to get this started. I'll need an answer if you want to do it. So I think I was shopping in Asda at the time. So I phoned Natalie and I was like, are we going to do B Corp? And she was like, yeah, let's do B Corp. So I messaged Nancy back, and that was that. And then by October the 29th that year, we were B Corp accredited, because we didn't have that far to go, because it wasn't no part of it was a tick box exercise for us. We are quite small, so we can be agile. So if we needed to make any decisions, any changes, write policies, things like that, there was always a decision, ultimate decision maker in the meetings. So we were allowed, we were sort of empowered to be quite proactive with it.
There was also some nice surprises. Like, oh, we do that.
Yeah.
We don't tell anyone we do that.
Yeah. So that's really when we found the governance work that we'd done prior was so valuable, and we were just doing it because it was the right thing to do. And actually it really aligned with some of those B Corp benchmarks. So that's how it happened. We kind of stumbled into it. It wasn't a let's do B Corp so we can get more customers, or we want a shiny badge on our website. It was, okay, we align with this anyway, and things we do, those people might work in big corporates or in certain industries, and they're like, wow, that's so different. And we don't think it's different because it's ours and we've always done it. But I think being able to quite relatively easily get through that initial accreditation, which is only the start of things.
There's a lot of paperwork involved, like a lot of gathering of stuff though. When Polly says easy, she's undermining.
I found it enjoyable. I think it's because I found it enjoyable, and we had already done a lot of the work and it aligned. So what I mean is by easy is it didn't feel like a chore. We were excited by it.
We just had to find the there wasn't evidence there. We had to collate the evidence to prove, then to get through the assessment. And actually, thinking about it, we managed to do it quite quickly. You know, thinking from January to October, it's taking people 18 months just from application to then even get a chat with someone. So we were fortunate, because we were one of the first lot to go through.
in that way, because I think there was like 400 and something B Corps in the UK when we became accredited.
Now there's, now there's a thousand.
Right. So yeah, there's been a huge, huge influx. So in terms of what B Corp actually means for us now,
accountability to get better.
So it's part of every conversational piece of decision making we make for the business. So we just went to an event and we were looking at the materials that our stand was made out of and making our stand almost as generic as possible so we can use it for as long as we can. And
even thinking about giveaways and things like that, like you can go to these things without a giveaway, but you want to give something away to special people to really remember you. So we did solar panel phone chargers. So you can charge, it's a quick charge, so you won't necessarily get a full charge, but you can leave the charger in the sun to charge itself.
That's so, cool.
And it's not throwaway. So that's just like a granular detail of what
Because we're like, we don't want to just another pen or a pad that's branded with us that you're not going to use if you're in a business. That's because
So we recently had a whole team briefing with Nancy about looking at our emissions from 2021 and what that means, and what it means is we could pay 40 quid to become a carbon neutral business through offsetting, which we've decided not to do. We're going to give that money to a period poverty charity because that's where we want that money to go. But yeah, it's the exciting start for us. I know we've already got the accreditation, we've got the badge, and we can claim B Corp status.
Got our first impact report out there.
Yeah, we have got big plans, and we've got a long to-do list of what we need to achieve. When we get out there and speak to people, still, I think if we say that we're B Corp and they notice that we're B Corp, some people's eyes light up, other people's eyes glaze over because they don't understand it yet, or they haven't heard about it yet. We have had a couple of clients come on in the past 6 months that want to work with us specifically because we are B Corp. And I think people are starting to do that due diligence with their supply chain. So that's what, in a long and rambling way, what B Corp means to us.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's an interesting one, isn't it, B Corp? Because it's been a while for a long time. It's just started to hit headlines in the UK, and not necessarily for the best reasons. And I think there needs something that you probably would be really good at is communicating the benefit, like what it is, in a really simple way so people understand it. And I think it's had a few knocks because a couple of big brands have come under criticism.
But one of them's had their accreditation removed. And I think it's that thing of, I see a lot of it where they're like, oh, why should they be allowed to be B Corp? And I'm like, well, if they're trying to be better, shouldn't we encourage the more questionable businesses to actually, if you go down this, you're going to be made accountable because you can have it taken away.
Absolutely.
It's not a given once you're there. So there is that sort of thing of, that sausage company, didn't they? They became it and they were like, oh, they kill animals.
And they're not vegan.
They're not. And it's like, but if they're going to, people are still going to eat meat, right?
Yeah.
People are still going to eat meat. So if they're going to now do it in a more sustainable and ethical way, isn't that better than us just saying you can't be B Corp, you kill them how you want? You know, it's like we really need to champion businesses that might not align with every single value that other people have, but just genuinely want to be better for the planet. That can't be a bad thing. So
you do run that risk, don't you? So we feel that our B Corp accreditation was authentic to the point of we almost did it without aiming to do it. We were far along that line.
Yeah.
So I feel like we are as authentic as we could possibly be with it, and we hold our hands up for things that we aren't perfect on. But publishing our impact report, I sent that a WhatsApp and I was like, I genuinely feel sick.
It means that much.
Because you're putting yourself out there to be criticized by people that feel like they're judge and jury on what makes you a good, ethical or sustainable business. And it's not linear. No one is perfect. And those that are trying to be better, I don't think should be sort of snuffed out.
It's that
greenwashing, greenhushing, jargon you want to use, whatever buzzword.
But hopefully with what's happened with BrewDog, shows to those that want to hush people that it can be taken away. So it brings back a bit of faith.
Bit of credibility.
And they're changing all the criteria because we don't know what that criteria is. I'm sure we will be. But it's that sort of thing of, it changes. It's going to evolve. It's going to get better. It's going to get stronger and stricter.
Well, that's it. You get your B Corp. You don't have it then forever. You're continually, you've got 3-year assessments, haven't you? Is that right? 3 years, every 3 years.
Yeah.
And you have to pay for it. Yeah. It's not a free thing either. Yeah. So, you know, it's, you. So there's that investment into it, not just with time and actual doing the do and hopefully walking the talk or whatever the saying is. I always get them wrong. it's a little known thing that I will say the wrong thing.
She gets phrases wrong all the time.
Love it.
So, you know, but also if you get to the end of the year and you can't afford to keep it, it's not a given every year even. So, yeah, interesting times.
Brilliant. I think it's really interesting what you said there about being authentic. And I think it's all about intention with business. It's like if you're looking, say you're a huge marketing agency and you're working with fossil fuel clients, like what is the, and you say, well, we're going to help them with the transition, but is the intention to be better really there when they make a lot of money doing what they do?
Yeah.
Whereas if the intention is there, and like you say, in a smaller business, it's easier to do it because there's much less red tape. But, you know, what is the intention? Is the intention truly there? Is the purpose truly there? And if it is really there, then everybody can be better. There's been a lot of discussion recently on wasteful admissions created by advertising. Mm. You were just talking there about wasting less in marketing. And this year, a report by Purpose Disruptors revealed that admissions driven by advertising, for example, increased 11% between 2019 and 2022. So you talk on your blog about marketing waste as well and reducing, reusing and recycling your marketing. I really liked that phrase, which I think you touched on a little bit there when you were talking about the event you went to recently. So can you tell me a bit more about marketing waste? What is it and what can businesses do to address it?
Yeah, so with the advertising emissions thing, I looked at that report and I think obviously
during that time,
online advertising and online sales during that time and lockdowns just went nuts because no one could get anywhere to buy. Mm-hmm. So I think there was going to obviously be a natural up curve. But
I'm surprised it's only 11%.
Yeah, but my understanding is it's the uplift in emissions that result from the increase in sales generated by advertising. So we had quite an interesting conversation around that, firstly, about it depends what the sales are. So if it's a fast fashion brand that isn't working ethically or sustainably and they see a huge uptick, that's kind of a category A worse sales from advertising than if it happens to be solar panel phone chargers, or people buying electric indoor clothes horses to dry their clothes because they're in the middle of a cost of living crisis, and actually,
or LED light bulbs or whatever
so I think there's a layer of investigation that needs to happen there, is to look at what categories that increase those increase of emissions come from, because I think then you get into the supply chain of those businesses and it's a bit of a minefield. What we do I feel is much more simple. I'll let you answer that one.
Okay. All right. So in terms of how we tackle marketing waste is that we go into a business, we audit what they have. We look at the data, see what's working, what's not working. We audit their website to make sure it's as efficient and as user friendly as possible. Mm-hmm. And we give them a plan to stop them wasting money.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
On activities that aren't working. Time on activities that aren't working, which, you know, is more money, and put their efforts into getting a better return on investment. So it's not necessarily reducing their investment, but getting more from it, because the less you spend, the less you're going to get. That's just, you know, that's just obvious. So we don't, simple things like, you don't need to write a blog post every International Women's Day. Just update the last one. Actually, do you need to write it at all? Are you just sort of like
jumping
on a bandwagon? Like if it's not topical to you, you don't have to say these things. There's also, people obviously want to, you know, say, oh, we've got this new person that's come to work for us. Great. take it off after 3 months though, because they're not new anymore. It's that adding to the noise because you think that's what you have to do, when actually those pages, whilst it's nice, it's good news for the company, it's not going to bring you customers necessarily. You know, they're well known and they bring a load of customers over with them. It's email marketing. Are you segmenting properly? Are the right people getting the right email at the right time, rather than we're just going to send it to everyone in our database and your open rate's only like 3%. That's a waste, because everything that you do has a carbon output, as well as a human energy output and a monetary output. So by what we do, we reduce all of that so that your return on investment is better.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think there's a really good blog by Carbon Literacy. If you Google carbon literacy, the carbon cost of any email, or an email, it really shines a light. It brings focus to the fact that there is this digital footprint, and not a lot of people think about that. It sits within your scope 3 emissions, which again, you don't have to measure to be able to claim carbon neutrality. So there's this kind of muddy pool of scope 3 emissions, that people really need to be looking at. I think also there's kind of this, there's a meeting where you build a website that is sustainable, which means it's light, it's easy to load,
future proofed,
it's not rammed with content for the sake of it. It's well optimized. If it's well optimized, the likelihood is that it's nicely accessible for voice readers. So you're following all this best practice, and all of a sudden you've got easy to use, fast loading website that's clear to understand, that hasn't got loads of noise on it. It's easy to navigate. It's easy for those that need sort of accessible websites, and all of a sudden you find that you're getting more conversions. So it really is that triple bottom line. And we've done it recently. We've got a case study where we've significantly reduced the carbon of a website and significantly increased the conversions. Brilliant. So there is that commercial benefit. And I think you were saying about is sustainability, is now in a cost of living crisis the time to explore sustainability for your business? And actually it's the absolute best time. Because you can get more for your budget, and you can stop doing churning stuff that doesn't work for you. I spoke to a business the other day, and they are high-end property developer. But they develop sites, so multiple dwellings, and they're spending all their time on Instagram when they want to be creating reels, but they actually want to be speaking to architects and landowners. So it's a case of refocusing down where the people are that you want to do business with, and who the people are that you want to do business with, and then how you communicate them with them, and focusing on that rather than scattergun. And actually what's usually missing is a marketing strategy, because if you marketing strategy, you answer all of those questions, and if you underpin your tactical activity with that strategy, you are going to naturally kind of contract what you're doing in a more focused way. And that's what we mean by reducing.
I think there's also this ridiculous FOMO when it comes to marketing. But I need to be on TikTok. You might not that, like, do all the other things first. And that's not me dissing TikTok. You know, there's like, we decided to shut down our Facebook page because everything you put out there is a carbon output as well. And then you've got to think ethically who you want to be sharing your information with. We're still talking about Twitter and Instagram. But it's those types of things where it's like, do you know what? You can do that, but you need to do all these things first. And then, because your marketing budget will 100% get slashed because it's not working if you're doing that, and you think that's the right thing to do. And you're not missing out, because your clients are actually over there. So sometimes it's that education, but also reassurance that no, it will be fine, because you'll be talking to a smaller pool of people, but they're the right people. You don't want hundreds of people on your website, because every time someone clicks on your website, that's a carbon output. they're not the right people, that's waste. And that's the waste we reduce.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I say to clients, you're going to see your website numbers, visitors reduce initially.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they're going to be the right people, but your bounce rate will reduce, your conversions will go up, your click-through quality score for pay-per-click is going to improve significantly because it's better and more targeted.
And so there's that education piece, isn't there, when it comes to marketing waste. Certainly with when you get clients having to write board reports, and often it's the big numbers that people want to look at. So how much traffic do we have? What how many followers have we got?
Yeah.
Rather than
what's our conversion?
Yeah, rather than what the conversions are. So there's education to happen there in terms of like just saying no to vanity metrics and really understanding the data and what it means for the bottom line.
Vanity metrics are dangerous. They're the waste.
Yes.
So yeah, in a rambling nutshell, that's what we mean by marketing
waste.
In a
really succinct way.
It makes complete sense because and it's how we should be doing things. It's the same reason that you don't just, like you say, do TikTok because you think you should do TikTok, or have an Instagram because you think everybody else is doing. I love the way you describe it as FOMO. It's not going to get you anywhere, and then at the same time it equals that carbon waste as well. It's a waste of time, it's a waste of energy, and it's a waste of carbon. So I mean, all of that makes sense.
Because you've got to put time and effort between making a reel or a TikTok. That should be gone into something else that's actually going to get someone starting a conversation. It's totally. That sort of like,
and I think what our approach really aligns with a kind of a construction industry approach, which is whole house retrofit. So if your home is energy inefficient, you will get a retrofit coordinator to come in, and they will look at the fabric of your house first and will then run through the order of things that need to be improved. It's not straight to air source heat pump.
Very
fabric of your house, make sure that your insulation is right, that you've got energy not leaking out of windows and doors, and then you move on to the next things. Well, that's the same as what we're doing. We're making sure that the foundations are right
before you buy solar panels,
before you start chucking ads at your website, maybe before you start spending a ton of money on
massive advertising campaign, and they land on your website and you're like,
but they don't know your website's then slow loading, your messaging's confused and everything else. So for us, there's very clearly an order of things. And we had an inquiry this week and they wanted their whole website rewritten in line with keywords. But then when we looked at the website, it was like, that's probably priority number five in terms of what you need to do. And if you're going to spend money on getting the whole site rewritten, but it's still very slow loading,
user experience is terrible.
Yeah, you're not going to get the benefit. So you're going to waste your budget, your time, and your energy, and the opportunity if someone lands on your website. It's quite, waste is quite multifaceted, but it's understanding the order of things, and it's not always the shiny stuff. So we often end up doing under the hood stuff rather than a big glossy campaign, but it means when the client has
the
cash to do the big glossy campaign, it'll land better.
So we've spoken about your business, and I want to come back to both of you. What is it that drives you to do what you do? Now, you've spoken a lot about, you know, purpose and why you're doing what you're doing in terms of the business, but why do you do it? Like, what makes you want to be better as a business and better in the work that you do? And what gets you out of bed in the morning?
What gets me out of bed in the morning is the fact that I can. it's quite a morbid sense of reality. I've had a few things, operations in my life where I might not have been able to. So getting out of bed in the morning is just because there's people that won't be or can't be. Also, I've got a 10-year-old. I'm a solo parent. So I do it for him as well. And that's the main reason we started this, or I definitely came into it, is that I wanted to be able to do the school runs, which I do. I didn't want to do all of them, though. I wanted to do the school runs, the SOs, that is both his nativities, and stuff like that, whilst giving opportunities for other people. So building a business where we employ people
to then work in that similar type of culture. Because when we started it, that was new, you know, and everyone's trying to do it now, but we do it in a way that it's just so fluid. Because I often see businesses talk about flexible working and hybrid working.
But you've got to apply to work from home for the day.
Yeah, but or the leaders don't model show that, behavior. Model that, whereas me and Polly are like, oh, I'm off. And then it's like, where are they going? Oh, it's probably a nativity counselling, God knows what else it is. But we model that so that our team knows that's that they have permission because they can see us just doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, for me, I get out of the bed in the morning because I can.
That's awesome. It's an interesting question. I think I do it because I'm a really creative person with a busy brain, and that needs to be funneled somewhere. The ideas and thoughts need to be funneled somewhere.
I should have my sticker.
Yeah. And so I love that creative side. I think I only started out freelancing 10 years ago. That was the goal. I remember saying to my cousin I needed to earn 250 quid a month to cover my bills. And this was this thing that's grown. It's just happened.
It's like an organic thing. Yeah, it wasn't we're going to have a business and this is what it's going to do. It's like, should we see what happens?
And now there's this responsibility of the business and the people and everyone's mortgages. And so to a degree, I feel a level of responsibility. So that gets me out of bed. I've got two daughters that me and my husband are role models for. So the fact that they see our work ethic is important to me. And actually what's come of it now is the opportunity to do other things that really align with my personal values. So, and I know Nat's the same. So Nat sits on the IAG, which is the Inclusion Advisory Group for Hampshire FA, as vice chair. And I'm a trustee for the local Basingstoke MenCap charity, which supports people in the community with learning disabilities. And we've kind of cultivated those opportunities through being in business. So, and that's quite a fulfilling thing, isn't it? Being able to do something that aligns with your personal values.
Definitely. I had a guest, Esther from Fanfare Label, ethical, sustainable fashion brand. And she said, was it Esther? I'm going to butcher this now. It might have been somebody else. But somebody on this podcast said...
Sandra.
it's been a long week. That the potential of what you can do through business is so much greater than the potential of what you can do as a single person. So when you've got that opportunity, like you say. And the other thing I really love about what you're saying is I've seen a lot in, especially in the marketing world, where people think about sustainability and they think about climate change, carbon, rain, deforestation, and they tend to forget the people part of the three P's. And that starts with your own people, like the people that you, your family, your work colleagues, you know, your mates, the people that you care about. And so that's why I think the culture is such an important part of being a purpose-driven organization. So it's lovely to hear you talking like that. And I'm sure that your team very much appreciates it.
Yeah. Well, except for when we're probably having one of those days when we're like,
yeah, sometimes it's really not easy. Working with a conscience. It's really, and with empathy, which we do always. And it's not necessarily an easy road, isn't it?
No. And actually, I think we know our team really appreciate the fact that our hearts are on our sleeves. They know what's going on. You know, it's almost like mum and dad. We try and keep it from the kids. but ultimately, we don't want they're on the bus. They are part of the typeface group, and so if something's becoming tricky. So like we've had a sales chat this week about we might miss our invoice thing, but these are all the reasons why, and this is what we're doing to hit our invoice targets next month. And they're like, what can we do? It is, we're all in it, and they want to be in it, and they want to know what's going on. But Well, obviously there's certain things we don't discuss because, you know, we want them to feel, not that they're not secure, but we want them to feel secure in their roles. It's bleak out there at the moment. You're hearing about redundancies left, right and center. So there's that sort of like, this is where we are, but it's all going to be okay because this is what we've got. You know, it's a balancing act.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just have to tell you, you reminded me so much, Natalie, of somebody I know in Australia. I don't know if you've heard of the girl who fell from the sky.
Ah, M. Carey.
Yes.
I follow her on Instagram.
Yeah, because I lived in Australia for many years. And she's an influencer over there. I used to work with her. Yeah. And her saying is, if you can, well, I'm going to butcher this as well, but it's something like, if you can do, because the same as you, she couldn't walk after she had a skydiving accident. She had to learn to walk again. And she has that very similar mindset of, I might not have been able to do this. Yeah. I might never have been able to walk again. And if you can, do it. If you've got the ability to do it, go and do it. So, 100%. Yeah, I really love that. Really love that. Just a little tangent there. See, I do them as well. So the final question we ask on this podcast, which is what this podcast is all about, and you wouldn't be surprised to hear that mainly the answer to this is very, very similar with all our guests, but do you think there is such a thing as a truly sustainable business yet?
2, 3.
No. No, I don't think there is. I think I really love the way that Nancy Heim from Chief Horizon put it to us when we first started.
She's not paid for saying I'm that, not. By the way.
I realise that they don't know who Nancy is. So, is that we are in business. Yeah. We are to make profit. There will be some impact. It's about reducing the impact as much as possible and being in conscious of it.
Being better.
And being better. So we haven't even... We can claim carbon neutrality, right, if we wanted to, just pay the 40 quid for an offset. Mm. But we haven't even started really to truly scratch the surface of our scope 3 emissions. So
ethically, it was a no-no for us.
Is that right to do? Because what you're then doing is putting on a bit of a facade of, well, we're not generating any sort of carbon.
Little asterisk in scope 1 and 2.
Yeah. So I don't think as a society, as a business community, globally, we're anywhere near educated enough or granular enough on what really causes emissions. We speak to so many businesses that are maybe purpose driven and they're like, we hadn't even really thought about the carbon emissions of our website. Yep. So I don't even think it's for the want of trying or for the want of having hearts in the right place and being purposeful. I just think we're a long way off.
Yeah, and part of that is because even how to measure it, you know, there isn't a universal way. There isn't an easy way. You know, like, we can do the best we can do to try and work out what our emissions are, but a lot of it is still a bit like this, or it's the best that we can do based on
what we know
and what calculators there are out there. You know, we might find out actually that gas and electricity might all become renewable, which means everything's going to change, but there's got to be an output of that somewhere. Anyway, I'll go too deep into things, but so yeah, and I don't think businesses are really looking at their supply chain, they're looking at themselves. So we sort of have what that's what we're going to do more of. We've kind of done it, but look at who we're working with and how their emissions impact us, because you absorb, it's a bit like Google, right? It's the link juice. It's like, if we're working with that business over there and they've got a bit of an output, well, some of that we've got to take on because we're working with them.
Absolutely.
So it's bigger than we know. We can only do what we can do with the information that we have, and then when we know more, we'll do better.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a saying from someone, Angelou,
Marie
Angelou?
Maya.
Oh yeah,
Maya Angelou. She says you can do the now I'm butchering
no. and I'll
completely it's, wrong. It's like you can only do as well as you can of what you
I'm
know and then when
it.
You know more you can do better.
Forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you knew it, something like that.
Something like that. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? And it's
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'll read it so it can be a soundbite.
Oh, so it can be your soundbite. Yeah, I see.
Because I found the actual information. Yeah. Right. I'm going to get it correct. Yeah.
Put Natalie Welch after it, just to really
Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. Yeah. And that's Maya Angelou.
And it's that thing, isn't it? It's like, stop trying to cancel people or point out their flaws. They probably know when they're just trying to do better. You can only do one thing at a time. We know we need to change our bank. Mm. We know that. Mm-hmm. But we also know how much of a headache it is to do that. So if we're doing all the other things first, because it's quicker, easier for us to do, we will get to that at some point.
Yeah.
It's just we have to have the right people, the right headspace and the time to do it properly.
Yeah.
So I think there is that thing of you've just got to give people a bit of well done for getting that. But we see you.
But what are you doing next?
We want to know what you're doing next, because we can see there's some things that need improving. The businesses often know that and they're just trying to do better.
That's it. You've got to start from where you are, don't you? You've got to start from where you are with what you've got. And like, and that's, I think, one of the hardest things of being an agency is that you can only control what you can control. There's only so you can control what you do as a business. You can influence what your clients do, but there's not much control with what your clients can do. So I'm going to just add a little question to the end of here. Do you find what you do makes an impact on your clients?
Yes, because we work with clients, we're so transparent in who we are and how we work, that we attract the clients that want to work in that way. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have some where they've got boards that need to come around, but we help with the marketing teams to put it in a way to influence. So it might not be an immediate influence, but we can
start planting the seed.
Yeah, but if you worked in this way, we can influence your return on investment. You know, if they're thinking they can make us more money.
Yeah.
And we're not spending more to make that money.
Yeah. Because there's very often an ethical, environmental and commercial benefit all wrapped up into one.
Yeah.
It's our responsibility to educate in a way that can help influence internally. I really do feel like we make a difference to the businesses that we're working with. There's a lot of business contacts that we've got that we're having chats with, because they're interested in becoming B Corp. So it's not just our clients, I guess it's our community on our network as well.
But coming back to our clients, we work as that critical friend. So then they come to us to go, we were going to do this, what do you think? And we are happy to say no, but you could do it this way. You know, if you have to do that, do it this way at least, you know, because there's some things they have to do, and that's what we have to, you know, we're not going to be, oh no, can't do that, it's carbon output. It's like, okay, let's think why you're doing it and how can we get the most out of it if you have to do it. Again, it's going back to that blog post thing, like, oh, we want to put out our Christmas message, so, well, don't put out a new one, go on, take the old one, like that's already out there and no one's reading it now, so update it, change the date, move on. So it's being there to support them to change, just change the way they have done things and just being more considered in how they approach it.
Brilliant. Is there anything else you'd like to add before I know we're almost out of time?
I'm just going to read that soundbite out. No.
Yeah. And then we'll see who you choose.
Yeah. See who your favourite is.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you both. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. And apologies for the internet issues.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Polly and Natalie from The Typeface Group. You can connect with them at thetypefacegroup.co.uk, and that link and all the other links you might need will be in the show notes and at our website, easybeinggreenpodcast.com, where you can also find a transcript of this episode. If you enjoyed the conversation today, and I hope you did, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe or follow this podcast on your favourite podcast app, and I'd be even more grateful for your 5-star review, which helps other people just like you to find these conversations. If you'd like to get in touch with me about this episode, or if you have ideas for a future one, you can do that by following at The Easy Being Green Podcast on Instagram. I hope you can join me next time when I'll be talking to Mark Stringer, or Strings as he's better known, at Scoot, where we will be talking about carbon offsetting and how offsetting isn't a dirty word. Until then, stay collected and don't forget to keep it green.